Well, I ask for your prayers. We look into the Scriptures for a little bit this morning. Before we begin, I'd like to ask us to sing the first two verses of number 329 in the hymnal. The first two verses. And I'd like to ask us to pay special attention to the chorus. The second verse says, down in the third line, "When the heart with sin is heavy, He will start the flowing tear, and the gems of truth from heaven, fruit of life, eternal bear. Let the heart with anguish riven now receive the precious seed. Do obey the voice of heaven, and for offered mercy plead. 'Twill prepare your soul for heaven, for the mansion that you need, if you will be wise and listen, and its precious counsel heed." Now, in the soprano line, it says, "Let the heart with anguish riven now receive the gospel seed." Within a seed that one would naturally plant in the ground, everything that is hoped for in maturity is in that seed. These two big oaks that are here in the parking lot came from an acorn. I was listening to a man, it's been many years ago, a phrase that he used has stayed with me for all of these years. He was ordering oak trees to plant in a nursery, and his interest was for them to be used for deer plots. And he said, "They go from acorn to acorn in 7 years." And I thought, 7 years? That's pretty quick to start from an acorn to producing an acorn in 7 years. Acorn to acorn in 7 years. But more than that, what stood out to me was the acorn. That little seed. And you've heard me say that within the heart of man, because of sin, is the capability to produce the most heinous sins. And we don't like to think of that. We don't like to dwell on that. But because of sin, I would just like to just take a moment and let your mind think of some of the most heinous, awful things that you have heard. Of crimes committed, mass murders, serial killers, things of that nature. They come from, they have a beginning point. There is sin involved in that. And the seed that is there has the ability to do the most heinous things. We recently have discovered and found out the demise of Molly Tibbet. And we had hoped, many had hoped, that she would be found alive and that she would be able to return home somehow, some way. The longer that dragged out, the more difficult that seemed possible. But we have now discovered and found out that she was killed. Very likely was sexually assaulted before she was killed. And she was placed in a cornfield, covered up with stalks of corn. That's how she was found. What type of mind does things like that? It comes from a seed. And my focus this morning is not on that, but that's what a seed is capable of doing, good or bad. I want to focus this morning on the gospel seed. And I want us to focus this morning, I hope by the Lord's help, that when we leave here today, we will find increased courage and encouragement to continue living for the Lord. You are going to be tempted. You're going to be tried. You're going to have the onslaughts of the enemy come against you in so many different ways. His only purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. His only purpose is to short-circuit the ability of the gospel seed to produce its work in your life. But God, through His love and mercy, has made something, created something so dynamic, so wonderful, that has so much power that it is able to cause you to have a transformed life, a transformed mind, and cause you to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And I want to reemphasize those things that are pleasing in His sight. Those are the things the Lord wants from us. I would like to read a little passage from the book Evolution of Christianity by F.G. Smith. And this is the phrase that's found in the introduction of the book. This progressive feature of the gospel was recognized in a beautiful comparison which a certain minister recently used while in conversation with the writer, given in about the following words. Christianity is not, as many suppose, a polished diamond let down from heaven to earth, which shines brilliantly and undimmed in any part of the world, but it is a seed which requires planting and good soil. In other words, the moral principles of righteousness implanted in the heart like seed have a gradual development. And this feature of Christianity is full of beauty and wisdom. For it is thus applicable to men in all conditions of life and in every stage of intellectual development. What that is saying is the gospel seed knows no bounds. There are no limitations on its ability to produce its offspring. There are no limitations on its ability to produce that which it was designed to produce. Now, there are different limitations that we have as human beings. My intellectual abilities, my mental capacity, the era of time in which I was born, where I have been reared, those things have impact on me. But the gospel seed is able to do as much as can possibly be done in the heart and the life of an individual as it will, the individual will let it go. The gospel seed is only limited by what you and I will allow it to do. Our physical situation, our mental situation. So I would like to look in the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. I'm thankful that the Lord has long-suffering and patience with you and me. I'm satisfied that many times that He comes around to our tree, if you will, and He is seeking fruit. The seed has been planted. The seed was there. The seed has been presented. Folks, every time that you and I come to a worship service, there is the potential that, and God is endeavoring to sow seed, to plant seed in your heart and mind. So the seed is there. The seed has been scattered. You have the Word of God. You have the Bible. You have the seed. You have the ability to click on your computer on a message at churchofgodpreaching.com and listen to a message online. You have the seed. The seed is scattered. The seed is sown. Not one person in this building today has excuse that there has not been seed sown and scattered in my life. Every one of us have had that opportunity. Not everyone produces fruit. Not every life produces fruit from the seed that has been planted and scattered. It is the long-suffering of God, and He comes by looking on the tree, the life, the individual, looking for fruit. In this case, He came by 3 years. I've come by all 3 years, the time when I should anticipate that there would be fruit on this tree. I come by looking for fruit, and I find none. It's time to do something different. It's time to move on. It's time to cut it down. It's time to pull it up. It's time to plant something different in its place. Something that has that will give me more opportunity to produce. Get rid of it. And the Lord of that said, let's give it one more year. Let's give it a little more time. I'm going to dig about it. And I'm going to dung it. And I want to say this morning, folks. Thank God for the digging and the dunging. The digging might not be so comfortable. The digging might mean that the Lord allows difficulty to come your way to shake up the root system a little bit. The digging about it means that there's going to be some rather drastic... This man who knew how to take care of these plants, I'm going to dig about it, I'm going to dung it, I'm going to do these things one more time. And I would say that he probably went to the most drastic measures that he could in order to help that tree produce again. If it was possible to do it, he was going to do anything he possibly could to make that tree produce before it was pulled up. Folks, this isn't talking about a tree. This is not talking about a fig tree. Does the Lord care about fig trees? He cares about lives. He cares about your heart, my heart, your soul, my soul. He cares about us. He's not caring about a tree. This is a comparison between what is a figurative thing and the real thing He wants to talk to us about is a heart, a life. I'm going to take some drastic measures and see if it'll produce fruit this next year. And if it doesn't produce fruit after the drastic measures that I take, then you have license to take it away. That is drastic also, folks. That ought to put a stir on our hearts. I'd like to turn now to the 8th chapter of the book of Luke. And I'd like to, before we read here, give a quote from a George Sexton. It says, "What does the word mean? And whence is it borrowed? It means to unfold from within." It's speaking of evolution. "It means to unfold from within. And it is taken from the history of the seed or embryo of living natures. And what is the seed but a casket of prearranged futurities, with its whole contents perspective settled to be what they are by reference to ends still in the difference." What he is saying is, in that little seed, in that little kernel of corn, in that pea, in that bean, whatever it is you're going to place in the ground, it is not the essence of what it will be. It has contained in it the casket. It is what is inside of it has the abilities. It's the embryo. And as that seed is placed in the ground, then the process begins to take place. If you have all the right conditions, good soil, moisture, sunlight, the ground is warm enough, all of those things are components, then begins the process inside of that seed of the unrolling, the unfolding from within, the expansion, the breaking up, the absorbing of the nutrients that is there for the little shoot to begin, the process of seeking its way through the soil to break through the soil into the light so it can receive the sunlight and begin the process of putting down the roots and doing everything that is necessary to produce fruit in the end. Now, this is not a process that happens just like that. This is a process that takes time. I know Brother Bobby has been one that has worked extensively with gardening and corn. Brother Bobby, if I may just put you on the spot right quick, and I ask you, what can you anticipate the time frame between the time you sow, you plant corn, and the time of harvest?
About 11 to 12 weeks.
11 to 12 weeks. All right. So by the time when you plant that seed in the ground, you have a time that you have to wait for it to become mature. You have the different elements that you have to deal with. You have sunlight, you have heat, you have rain. Too much rain, not enough rain. Too much heat, not enough heat. There are different ways that people look at corn. Some plant corn for the silage, for the stalk, for the matter that's there, and they like to get a good, they prefer to plant it early, and after it comes up 6-8 inches or so, get a good frost on it to nip it back a little bit, so it doesn't have so much energy going into the ear. It has more energy going into the stalk. Shorten that stalk a little bit and make it heavier and more dense to make a better silage. But a man that wants to plant corn for fruit, he wants to do it at the right time and hope he doesn't get a good hard frost on it. He wants it to grow and mature. Those are the things. There are different ways to look at this. But the Lord, in all of His efforts, folks, is desiring and designing that you and I would bring forth fruit to maturity. So let's look at chapter 8 of the book of Luke. Begin with verse 4. Very familiar. We're not going to dwell on all the phases of this. And when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. Fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked the moisture. Some fell among thorns. Thorns sprang up, choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. Others say some 30, some 60, some 100. Luke says an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then down in verse 15, the explanation of the parable, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." I say to us today, folks, too many times we get over anxious about the fruit. It's easy to get over anxious about the fruit. I want corn. So I go out to my ground and I till the ground and I row up some rows and I plant some corn. Am I willing to wait the 11 to 12 weeks it takes before I eat my corn? Or do I get impatient and say, this is taking too long. I want corn today. I want it next week. I want it in a month. I want it in 4 weeks, 6 weeks. But it's not going to be ready then. Too many times, folks, in our own hearts and minds, we look at ourselves and we judge ourselves prematurely. We judge ourselves harshly because I'm not where I need to be. And I think we do well to be honest with each other and with myself. Maybe I'm not where I need to be with the Lord, but that's too many times when we're in those kinds of places, we come to the crossroads where we have anticipations and the Lord has long patience for the early and the latter rain. He has long patience to be able to enjoy the fruit of the seed that He has planted. We become impatient. And too many times when we become impatient, rather than being willing to wait and walk with the Lord and let the light of everything that He has, everything that is within that seed, to have its process of unfolding, unfolding, unfolding within us, we become discouraged. And when we become discouraged, then we walk away. And the Lord comes by looking for fruit. And He says, "I've looked for 3 years. And I don't have anything coming from this tree. I know I put the seed there. I planted it. The evidence of it being planted is there because the tree is there. But there's no fruit on it. Time to do something drastic." We become very discouraged because we have anticipations above and beyond for ourselves, above and beyond what the Lord is expecting from us. Yes, He expects us to be stable and steadfast. Yes, He expects us to have patience. Yes, He expects us to be steadfast and secure. Yes, He expects us to stay in there and wait. That's the problem that you and I have to deal with. We want to be hurry. We're living in a world, folks, living in a world where I can go to home to my refrigerator, I can open the door, and I can take out a container, and I can dip out some food, and I don't have to turn my stove on at all. I can put it in a plate, on a bowl, and I can go to my microwave and punch a couple of buttons, and in 2 minutes' time, I have a hot, sometimes too hot, plate of food. As society, we're spoiled of that kind of thing. You think not? Next time you go to McDonald's and place an order and they're having trouble back there keeping up with all the orders that are coming in and you want your food now. This is fast food. I have to wait 5 minutes to get my burger. I have to wait 5 minutes to get my burger. And I'm impatient. Why can't they do their job? These are the things, folks, that we deal with. This is what you and I deal with. It's part of what society has thrust upon us. And if we're not careful, we'll allow society to dictate to us how we respond and how we react. This seed that God has planted, this gospel seed that God has planted, has the ability to produce in the heart and the life of the individual everything that possibly can be done that is right and pure and holy and righteous. There is nothing in the seed that is lacking. Everything that it is intended to be is encased, is in that little casket of the seed, if you will. But when that seed is scattered and thrown about, and when it lands in your heart and my heart, it is up to us how it's going to produce, whether it's going to be 30, 60, or 100. The good ground, the honest and good heart, is what Luke says in verse 15 of chapter 8. The honest and good heart. When I come to the place where I'm dealing with trouble in my life, when I come to a place where I'm dealing with adversity, when I come to a place where I have been impatient, when I come to the place where I wanted my burger and it took him 5 minutes to get my burger, and I walk out and I have a bad attitude in my mind and my heart about that, and I realize that not only is it there, but it permeates. It's in other areas of my life. I realize, oh, Lord, I've become an impatient person. Lord, I've become things that I don't want to become. I've allowed this to be a part of me, and I know that's not right, and I know that's going to hinder the honest and good heart to go to the Lord and say, I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've allowed. I'm sorry for allowing these things to permeate me. I'm sorry for letting it have an impact on me like it has. And I want this to be removed from me, Lord. Will you help me do that? Yes, the seed is there. Yes, I put something in you. Yes, it is still capable of producing. But you got to get the stones out of the way. You got to keep the weeds pulled up. You got to keep the big trees from growing over and shading it more than what it needs to be shaded. It needs light. The only way that it's going to be able to produce everything that God wants it to produce in my heart and my life is I have work to do. I have work to do on the external things. I can't change the seed. I can't make the seed produce more than it's capable of producing. It has the ability to do everything that can possibly be done for humanity. But my responsibility is to take care of the external things. Keep the weeds pulled out. Keep the root of bitterness. Keep the impatience pulled out of the way. That tree that tries to grow over and shade it where I can't get enough sunlight to grow, I have to be the one to say, "What? That's in my way. That's going to cause a hindrance. I've got to lop that thing back, or I've got to cut it down, get rid of it, get it out of the way." Those are the things that you and I must do in order for us to be successful. I want to turn to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 6. I want to read to you what the gospel seed did for these people. This is the counsel of the Apostle Paul. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, with verse 5 beginning. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Now wait a minute. It is not right for one man to be another man's property. It is not right for me to be a slave. It is not right. This goes against all principles of godly principles and design, what He created men to be free. Goes against all of that. I won't disagree with you, but I'll say this. The gospel seed has within it the ability to make me, if I am a slave, if I am a servant, the gospel seed has in it the ability to transform my heart. The Apostle Paul said, servants, be obedient. He didn't say rise up and rebel. He didn't say get anger and bitterness in your heart toward your masters. He said be obedient. You see, this is what the gospel seed is capable of doing in the heart and life of an individual. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Then ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening. In other words, don't threaten. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. This is what the gospel seed is able to do in the heart of an individual. But I find myself in a very, very difficult situation, very, very difficult circumstances. The gospel seed is able to cause me to rise above that, maybe not my physical condition, but in my heart, rise above that. And instead of having anger and bitterness in my heart at whoever, I can have peace. As the Apostle Paul says, this is what my advice to you is. Do it as unto the Lord. Do it as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but doing the will of God from the heart. That's what the gospel seed is able to do. It's able to transform. That's why the book of Romans says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that take place? It can only take place from the gospel seed working within, unfolding, unrolling, constantly growing, changing. Constantly make. It's not as though once I get saved and get up from an altar of prayer, and then I go into the altar of prayer and I say, Lord, I want you to sanctify my heart. Sanctify my spirit. Lord, I want to consecrate myself to you. I want to put all of that on the altar before you here this day. Amen to that. I recommend that to you. I recommend to anyone in the building that if you have been saved recently, if you've given your heart to the Lord, I recommend baptism. If you follow through the ordinance of baptism, I recommend to you that you seek the Lord for dedication, consecration, sanctification, for His Spirit to be in your heart and life. I recommend that to you because when we do that, we open that avenue more and more for that gospel seed to do its work. We open the door, open the window for the light of the glorious gospel through the Holy Spirit to begin its work. And it transforms that individual. Look at verse in the book of John, chapter 16. Verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and will show you things to come. Now, chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When you get up from an altar of prayer where you have been saved, you have been baptized, and you have come back to the Lord for His second work of cleansing, and ask Him to send His Spirit to dwell in your heart and life, I want to tell you folks, young men, young ladies, when you put yourself on the altar before the Lord, when you get up from that altar of prayer and the Lord has done a work in you, you have just begun to learn. You have just opened yourself to the marvelous blessing of the gospel seed and for God through His Spirit to teach you and lead you. You will not get up from there and, I've got it all. I have arrived. I know it now. I've got it all figured out and everything from here on out. You don't have to teach me anything. I got it all. I'll say to you, you're in for some surprises. But the gospel seed begins its work of opening and working within you to produce everything that it is possibly capable of doing in your life. And you may have to go back to the Lord many times and say, Lord, I allowed that tree to get too big and it shaded things, and I see that I don't have near the fruit that I thought I should have by now. And maybe you don't even like what you see. Lord, help me get rid of this tree. Lord, I've allowed too many tares to spring up around me, and it's encumbering what your seed is supposed to do. Lord, I've let the cares of this life become too much a part of me, and I want to get those things out of the way because your gospel seed that you have planted in me is being hindered by the things that I've allowed to grow in place of it. Lord, will you help me get those things out of the way? You'll have to do that as you go through life. You'll have to go to the Lord and He begins to teach you and lead you and guide you until you come to the place, folks, and I don't know when that will be with every one of us, because we can go out here to this cemetery and walk around and see different age groups. I was walking by the other day and I just noticed, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves me right, walked by Brother Nelson's father's grave. And if I remember correctly, he died at age 37. If I remember correctly, Cheryl's father, they died at age 37. Now, we would look at that and say, that's young. Yes, it's young. Yes, it's young. But who's to say? Who's to say when God looks down? Who's to say that when God looks down and says, It's produced what it's going to produce. It's produced what it's capable of doing. And I've seen what it's been producing, and I like what I see. And I see that it's almost to maturity. And I know when it's got to that place where its maximum content is there, its maximum ability. So before it goes any further and gets beyond, I'm going to harvest. We don't know how to judge all that. We don't know how to make those determinations, but there is one who does. There is only one who does. So we do well to allow that gospel seed to work in our lives. And I want you to be encouraged today to know that maybe you say, I don't understand. Maybe you say, I've got some work to do. Well, if we do have work to do, folks, let's get to work. And I say that to myself too, because I have found that there are things that I thought I knew and understood along the way. There are times when I have also felt that, hey, I finally got it. I finally got it. I finally have arrived. Only to find out in just a short time that there's something else that I did not realize and did not know. And as I stop and look back over that, and sometimes I feel, Lord, shouldn't I have been better? Shouldn't I have known to do differently than that? Shouldn't I have made a better decision than what I just made? And He says to me, yes, you should have known. But you allowed this to come in. You allowed that to come. Get that out of the way, and I'll continue working. And the Lord will be there with you. And every day, I can look back and say, Lord, I thank you for my successes. I thank you for my failures. Thank you for failures. I thank you for them only because you allowed me to see more about myself through my failures, through your willingness by your Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth. Bring things to my remembrance to enlighten me and help me to see and understand. Because I want and you want the gospel seed to have its work and its complete work in your life. So let's pray for one another. Please pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Amen.